It is time to war with Dr. Joshua Todd as he releases Kingdom Truths, Teachings, and Transformation through the Wisdom and Revelation podcast series. Are you ready to war? Find out the how, who, what, and where on this session of Wisdom and Revelation. This is war.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Wisdom and Revelation with me, Dr. Joshua Todd. I'm so excited that you're joining with me today. I have been preparing my heart to be faithful to release some revelation on a very important topic that I am caught up in. And I literally am on a journey of being caught up in this study that God put me in the book of Nehemiah. Now, to give you a sense, recently the Lord kind of began to install through the word that I received from an apostolic leader in my life and influence, that I was to enter into some understanding of patterning. And I thought this was very intriguing, especially based on the things that the Lord was asking me to do here, where I serve a spiritual father in the faith, Dr. Don Lynch, here at Freedom House Jacksonville, a kingdom center. It's a unique thing to be part of a kingdom center for sure. And as the Lord began to kind of provide revelation on the subject matter, the Lord began to lead me into the book of Nehemiah as part of the prophetic picture or the manifestation of the prophetic picture given in Isaiah 45:1, when the Lord calls Cyrus an anointed servant. And so we all familiar with that passage, but the context of how that manifested through really three strategic waves of the return of the remnant to Jerusalem was very powerful. I began to enter into revelation on the topic. And then before I knew it, a really strong divine pattern started to emerge to me, and it really took studying out. And the way I did that was I entered into the story of creation, walked through Old Testament, establishment of sacrificial system, and I went to see even further in detail the revelation that was beginning to emerge, the patterning that was there, and how this led to Jesus and how it led to the establishment of Ecclesia, which is, if you're not aware, the way we understand church as defined through Ecclesia versus more of a King James understanding of that word, which was used to produce a situation where he, the king, would control people who met in a building. Ecclesia is literally a governing or legislating force. So as Jesus declared he would build his ecclesia, he was saying, I'm going to form a legislative body in the earth to bring my will and Father's will into this world. And so we entered into that, and you see this pattern happening throughout the book of Nehemiah, amazingly enough. I mean, you see it so clearly happening. And so I said, I'm going to begin to identify the marks of them that are going to operate in these patterns. So the first pattern on Wisdom and Revelation that I want to talk today is about the pattern of divine cooperation. And this pattern will be known by its fruit of producing otherworldly results. Otherworldly results. In other words, supernatural results occurring in the life of those who enter into this pattern. So what you find is five real marks. And today on Wisdom and Revelation, in a very short episode, I want to talk about one of those marks. One of the marks of the pattern of divine cooperation is what I call the mark of amplification. So this is an amplification where God will start in the small, often in an individual, and increase to a much larger, broader sense, consistent to four things. Number one is stewardship. So stewardship is that God is looking to land in an area of an individual's life, beginning in a pattern of divine cooperation that they might consider, in the mundane place or in the place of small. The reason this is because God, who is infinitely large, shows more miracle power in arriving in something small than if he were to arrive in something big. Think about that for just a second. The God of infinitely large shows more power, more ability, and more meekness and humility that he carries in arriving in something small rather than something large. Now, think about how opposite that is of the spirit of the world, who screams out, if something's going to happen, it needs to be big. The reality is God says, I'll start with something small. You see this many times in scripture, replete, full in a scriptural understanding. God chooses the small to begin. Don't despise your small beginnings. Those are the area of your stewardship. And you see this in the life of Nehemiah. You watch him walk through in chapter 1 in his prophetic calling, in his personal awakening to a deeper sense of identity and purpose. You see him stewarding in his area of influence. Now, in his case, this is going to be a rather large divine positioning, but what you see is a convergence. So where we're not all going to be Nehemiahs, we're not going to all function in the natural world consistent to what he did. We're going to have areas of convergence where spiritual purpose meets natural circumstance. Those are the areas that God is saying, I want you to steward this area. And we see that in the life of Moses. We see stewardship in the life of Moses. You see it in the manger. God starting in the small thing. And from there, I mean, the smallest place, literally. I mean, if you think about the manger, you see a circumstance not fit for the arrival of the king of the world. And yet here's exactly where Jesus comes. He arrives here, exhibiting the deepest, furthest, highest to lowest move, which has awarded him a name above every name, that at his name every knee would bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because he went from the highest place to the lowest place. He covered a gap of his humility that we cannot ever reach. So he was able to do it. I looked around heaven. I wept because nobody was worthy. But then here he comes, the Lamb, the Lion, worthy is the Lord. So there's a sense where you see this in the manger. You see it in the life of Moses. So the question for us is, how are we stewarding the small places? Are we being faithful in the small things? Are we being faithful in our prayer closet? Are we being faithful with our business? Are we being faithful in our marriage? Are we being faithful, faithful stewards, remembering that what has come to our life is not because of our own abilities, but because the Lord prepared us a place where we could steward something that is going to grow greater than who we are to bring glorification, magnification to him who is worthy. The second thing in this amplification, the second place of this mark, you'll see it, is in the area of sacrifice. So you'll say, every time God begins with something small and grows it into something large to amplify it, to be part of a larger pattern of divine cooperation, he does this with a very deep sense of sacrifice. And as I said in the message I preached last week at Freedom House, still available for you to watch if you'd like to, is that there you will never outrun sacrifice in the kingdom of God. You are the sacrifice and you present it. So there is a sense of sacrifice, and be careful of any lifestyle that doesn't require one of sacrifice. This is not a way that God will be able to produce a greater pattern of divine cooperation. He will stop cooperating when you stop sacrificing. Man, that is good preaching, ladies and gentlemen. So be aware that he is going to require of us a continual lifestyle of sacrifice. And he will continue to come and return and say, hey, I want more and I want it all, and I'll produce more so that you can give me more, and I'll produce more so that you can give me more, and I will produce even more so that you can give me even more. And this is the life justified by faith, one of continued sacrifice. And so he's coming even today to some of you saying, what will you sacrifice? What will you give to me? Are you ready? Are you prepared to offer a sacrifice consistent to how I want to grow in your life, something that will bring me glory? God is after bringing glory to his name. He's not selfish in doing so. He's right in doing so. If he were more interested in, if his dreaming, I talk about in the series how this specific month of Kislev is mentioned as when this occurs, when this awakening in Nehemiah happens. It's a month of dreaming. It's a time of year where mostly darkness is experienced, so which means more sleeping and more dreaming. The reality is his dreaming, his call comes to the place where he says, here, answer my call and begin to live out my dream for your life. Begin to live out my dream for you to become part of a larger cooperative pattern so that I can do something divine in you and through you as you awaken to my dream. So the reality here is we are all given an entrance into this, And we find ourselves coming into a place where this kind of lifestyle requires tremendous sacrifice. And this is exactly what you see in Nehemiah's life. You can really see it in the transition from verse 1 and verse 2, or chapter 1 and chapter 2, which covers about a 4-month period of time, where he becomes overwhelmed with an unction, overwhelmed with a call to pray, overwhelmed with entering into a lifestyle that changes him. And you'll see how important this is. Hopefully, I will preach on this coming first day on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, starting preaching at 11:11. So that is powerful reality that we're not only going to steward, but we're going to sacrifice. The third part of this amplification to become part of a pattern of divine cooperation is service. That is that there will be godly service of you and it will be inconvenient. And I mentioned this and it was quoted and I can explain the quote. And it was this: if you're not operating in inconvenience, you're not truly being a service to the king. What I mean by that is, service is not limited to what's convenient. Service is often asked to determine or help us understand our prioritization of life and living. Where am I? Is this an inconvenience? And if so, why? Is there something here that I can find that says, I would rather do this when it's convenient for me? There's a prioritization problem when this kind of divine interruption comes and we say, this is definitely not convenient. Therefore, I will only serve the kingdom to the level of my convenience. That is not service in the kingdom at all. That is not even appropriate. Matter of fact, it is inappropriate and it borderlines rebellion when you say something like, hey, I'm only going to serve when it's good for me, or where it's worthy for me to serve. I won't, pass out bottled waters, or I won't be willing to do that. But if you ask me to do that, I'll do that. That is not service to the kingdom of God. There's more dying that needs to happen in the life of a believer when they're the ones to determine what's appropriate service. Here's your service, your spiritual service of worship. Romans tells us clearly is you offer your body a living sacrifice. That is your spiritual service of worship. How are you practically doing that today? Where are you dying today so that the life of Christ is manifested through you? This is where this lands, in the areas of divine service. The final place that I want you to look for God's amplification is in your surrender. What is the level of your surrender? Because you're going to find this through these three areas. You're going to say, I think I have to surrender more deeply. I might need to renew my covenant. I might need to renew something with the Lord to say, I am willing to surrender even deeper, more deeply to you. As you're going to find in the life of Nehemiah in chapter 1 to chapter 2, a level of surrender he had never truly encountered. So this is going to happen, but remember this, that what we learn in the story of Nehemiah when it comes to seeing the amplification of his leadership and his lifestyle is that all of the personal things that occur in him become much more than just personal. And so let me challenge you with this idea there, that your personal breakthroughs have been much more about what God wants to do through your breakthrough and someone else than just you receiving it and keeping it for yourself. Your personal breakthrough is much less personal than you probably realize. When it becomes part of a divine cooperation with an ecclesia, your personal breakthrough is going to become something that leads others into greater and greater and greater measures. And so remember that what you're walking through now is producing probably a breakthrough for somebody else. So you can't isolate yourself and be part of a pattern of divine cooperation that produces otherworldly or supernatural results like you're going to see in the book of Nehemiah. You've got to enter into it fully. And I'm telling you that there is a way to enter into it as the invitation arrives to enter into this mark of amplification on your life. What is being amplified for you today? So I've shared with you one of the marks of this pattern of divine cooperation is this amplification in the four areas of stewardship, sacrifice, service, and your surrender. Now I'm going to talk about, hopefully I'll bring a short snippet of this. It'll be more preached on next week more thoroughly, but I'm going to talk about the next mark of this pattern of divine cooperation. The first being amplification, and the second one is going to be acceleration. You're going to see a period of acceleration in these areas when you enter into this pattern, and it will not be something you're able to produce, but something that God can produce through your life. Now, I talked recently on Statured Sons and Daring Daughters with Sean Harvey who is working at the Wolf's Creek schoolhouse and seeing this pattern of divine cooperation. Others are seeing it too. I could list them by name. I hope to have them on, Statured Sons, Daring Daughters. But for now, I want you to know what we're doing is we are working diligently to bring up Tom Ledbetter, Sean Harvey, and other leaders, making that audio available on this podcast for you to listen to. They're live on my Facebook. You can get there, facebook.com/inheritanceinvasion for the Dr. Joshua Todd page. You can see these. You can see the video where we discuss it via Zoom call, but you'll also be able to hear it here on my podcast. I hope this blesses you today, and I just encourage you to stay faithful, stay ready, and go to the next level in Jesus' mighty name. Thanks for being with me today on Wisdom and Revelation.
Thank you for joining Dr. Josh on War. Today, we learned about entering into the pattern of divine coordination. This is a biblical pattern that produces supernatural results, manifested in the natural that glorifies the Lord of glory. You learned about one of the marks of this pattern, the mark of amplification. Throughout Scripture, God starts with the small and works with those who steward it, sacrifice for it, surrender to it, and serve it, into something that testifies that He desires to use small people to do big things. There will be more on this subject next time as we war for what God wants with Joshua Todd.